Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted small business podcast host. I'm here with Tiago, who's going to introduce himself and tell us why we should trust him.
Hey guys, so I'm Tiago. I'm a 27-year-old entrepreneur, and I've been in the digital marketing since 2021. Did over $10 million in revenue in the last year with direct response marketing, especially in the nutraceuticals space, dealing with like weight loss niche. It's one of my biggest strengths. I'm very glad to share a few information that should be valuable for you guys.
I'm very, very curious. Was there any sort of background before this, or, you know, a lot of the younger entrepreneurs that I've talked to, you know, they realized there was an open field when they're 15, 16, 17, 18, and just like, you know what, screw this whole, I got to go to college and got to get an 8-year degree and go to medical school to make something of myself. So is entrepreneurship something that you've always held in hand, or did some strange coincidence happen to draw you into what you're doing now?
Okay. So I felt like I never fit in. Like when I was younger and in college, and even in fundamentary school. And once I started my college degree in computing science, that was back in 2018, I was almost playing professionally, like in esports. I used to play Gears of War in the Xbox. I even participated in a few major events. So I was like very into technology and stuff, so I started my computer science college. But when 2020 hit and the pandemic started, like the college hit a break, and I stood around like 6 months with no classes, just playing online inside my house and everything. And I had two friends that were doing pretty well with dropshipping back then, and I got a bit curious with that market. They were doing pretty well. I believe they had a shoe econ, like a sneakers, sports econ. And then it first started with drop shipping, like importing things from China. I live in Brazil, so I used to do like China, then selling to the Brazilian market. And then in 2024, I got a bit saturated with drop shipping, like too many inconsistency, lots of ups and downs, low profit margins. And I migrated to the info product space. So I did my first $1 million in sales with a wall Pilates course. We had our like a 27-day challenge. And that did pretty well. We had a quiz funnel. And then last year, I've met the Nutra market in January. Then I start studying a bit. I have other two business partners. And 3 months later, after my first touch with Nutra, we started acting as a vendor in the US market, especially in the weight loss niche, back in May.
I'm curious, out of that mix of what you're doing, is it largely based off of content creation programs and organic engagement in the platform, or is it more about crafting the right messaging to use through paid channels? Is that exclusively on Instagram, or are there other channels and processes that you're using to build visibility for what you're doing to get that revenue stream going?
Yeah, so our main expertise is direct response marketing. So we work straight with cold traffic. So we're always relying on new people coming to our pages and buying the products. So we work usually with VSL funnels, and 90% of our traffic channels is actually Meta. We do a little bit of native, like Taboola, Outbrain, but 90% of our traffic source comes from Meta. Then we do a lot of like video creative styles, like UGC, podcasts, interviews. We use a lot of AI today as well. And we usually have a VSL page with like 40 minutes long, 50 minutes long, where we go through a whole construction of a storytelling and expanding in the unique mechanism of that solution, everything to get these people to buy your products.
What do you think has been changing? I know you said you started adapting and leveraging some of the AI tools from the creator side and perspective of the things. Because I view those AI capabilities as kind of two sides, you know, because people use it to discover things and then people are using it to create things. So from the business perspective side of leveraging those tools, what has that been like? Is it a long funnel or just a creative playground? Hey, this seems to be able to do this. Let's try it.
So I use a lot of AI in our space to both create and design creatives. So we do a lot of UGC style ads. So we can use tools like HeyGen, DreamFace to not be necessary to actually hire an expert or one of us in the team need to film themselves going through the transcript. So that is very helpful and is very productive. And I use a lot for research. So whenever doing copy for the VSLs or even for the creatives, we can use I use a lot of Claude today, but back in the day, I used a lot of menus and ChatGPT to do a lot of audience research. So identify their main pain points and objections, dreams, what is currently trending in platforms like Reddit, other blogs that are able to tell us a lot of about our audience and what specific points to target regarding the season.
Yeah, I've definitely been falling into a lot of Claude-based processing for my podcast content. I mean, it's kind of silly, like, how little that content used to be utilized. I know that podcasting has been around, you know, for 20, 30 years now, but I think a lot of that value was kind of locked up because it was so expensive to transcribe it. But now you can take the transcript of even this conversation and extract the value out of it very quickly with LLM tools like Claude. What are some of the downsides or pitfalls of using these tools or things that you have to avoid or double check when you're adding these things to your workflow?
So the first thing is I see a lot of people trying to write copy, like the scripts for the creatives or even VSLs using only AI. But I think if you go straight into AI and like you trust 100% on the AI to do this, you're going to be dealing with a lot of generic terms. I'm seeing like everyone else, like the same promises, the same offers. So that is one thing that I believe AI, or you master how to create an agent that have all the, let's say the decision-making strategies that you make by being, let's say, a copywriter or a funnel expert, and try to introduce that into the agent so we can maybe do all the reviewing for you. But I still don't think that you can write 100% of the copies and have the same performance as you're doing by being an expert copywriter in that niche. So you need to do a lot of reviews. And you, so far, I think you need to combine, like use AI for research and maybe write the base structure of the scripts. But then you got to come in and review with your expertise.
What would you say to, you know, potential entrepreneurs right now looking at the market? Like, what is your message for them? Should they jump into the deep end? Should they stick to a kiddie pool for a little bit? Like, what's your advice if somebody's kind of kicking around the edges right now?
Currently, one of the main focus, I believe, should be how to automate processes, things that are very repetitive, maybe on a daily basis or weekly basis with AI, because I'm seeing a lot of like small teams being able to do a lot of revenue just by introducing AI into their structure. So whenever you have any process that, let's say, take 10 hours of your time on a weekly basis or 15, 20 hours on a weekly basis, a lot of this repetitive process you can already automate and gives you more time to think strategically what arms you should be focusing on the company and actually going more strategic. So I believe like AI in the next 2 to 5 years are going to change the whole game. A lot of, I believe, like software tools are gonna die, and people are gonna be able to make all the tools they actually pay today. They're gonna have like created on their own base. So this is something we need to hurry to master. Yeah.
What's been your most surprising success? Something where it just took off. You didn't expect that to be that good that quickly for you.
So I believe my first 3 months of Nutra last year, I first started in Nutra in May. I have never dealt with supplements before, and I haven't even dealt with VSLs. All of my previous funnels were dropshipping or info products, but we usually work with quizzes. So when I first started in Nutra, my first month, that was back in May last year, was pretty, I struggled a lot. I even took a bit of loss on my first month. And I was thinking about giving up back in the day. I say, man, I spent a lot of money. I took, 10K or 15K loss in my first month. I almost given up. But I noticed that I was actually learning something from that loss. And then my second month, just with a few adjustments and a few of our strategies, we were already able to profit on the second month. And then my third month, we went completely skyrocket. Like went from a loss in month one, and month three we were already profiting like 7 digits. So it was very is there like 0 to 100. In a 2 month basis.
What's been a consistent challenge for you to overcome while you've been doing this digital entrepreneurship?
It's actually two things. First one is consistency, as I do with direct response marketing, and we're focusing 100% of cold traffic. It's very hard to keep a consistent profit, margin and even revenue on a monthly basis. And the second thing is actually growing and managing teams. So on the last months, I started focusing a lot on becoming a better, entrepreneur and a better leader. So I can actually delegate a lot of the operational things I was doing previously to people that are able to do even better than me, but I gotta manage everything. So I cannot just send them the tasks I used to do and just rely on them to be 100% productive on their end and give me everything exactly as I want. So we got to go through a whole training process, management, and the last couple months, I'm dealing a lot with process creation on how to manage the team and keep data on everything that's going on in every department of the company, as we did a lot of growth in the last months.
I'm curious, what's your hottest take? If I give you a soapbox and you can speak to any segment in the world, what's your hottest take on any subject at all?
My hottest take. First one. Is that was actually very helpful for me because I never worked, alone. I always try to do partnerships. So the first one is if you're planning on building a company, it's way better to do with a person that you can trust by your side. But make sure to have a business partner that, is the opposite of you. So he has different skills. So I'm a copywriter. Don't go in a business partner with another copywriter. You need to combine into a into a better version. So that is the first. But if I consider the last maybe 6 months that the business grew a lot, is you need to know how to become a leader and train other people to become leaders at their departments. That is the only way you can actually scale, maintain consistency, and make sure that you're growing, let's say, each month or each year. You cannot rely 100% on your individual skills. So, yeah.
That definitely makes sense. You know, I've worked both as a solopreneur. I've led teams of 10 to 15 digital marketers and SEOs, search engine optimization specialists, working on things, and worked as a product manager with an even larger team. And yeah, there's definitely a hard skill there where if you aren't able to delegate properly, aren't able to delineate expectations, follow up on those expectations, then, you know, it's going to start falling apart because like you cannot be everywhere all at once as much as you, and there is no cloning technology. You know, you can't just, you know, duplicate yourself multiplicity style and get everything done. My next question is, what are you looking forward to for your business in the future? What's growing? What is the next step for you guys?
Yeah, so when we first started with Nutra, we were vendors, but we only had internal traffic. So it was just us, like running ads and sending people to our pages and converting them. But we didn't have any affiliates. And since January, we started affiliation of our products. So we validate the offers that we create internally with our own traffic. And now we're starting to gather affiliates around the world to actually run our offers and increase our revenue. And we also started a educational mentorship. So we go after affiliates that are already doing, let's say, already having great results with Nutra to run our offers, but are also training people with our own mentorship and educational, let's say, evergreen process to run our offers. So the goals for the end of year are very aggressive. We're trying to hit at least like 15 million is in revenue this year, only with the affiliation department. We started with Europe. Now we just opened the US affiliation as well. And this has been a new journey. So we're after a lot of affiliates. We're spending a lot with increasing the size of our team. So hiring more copywriters, people to be our affiliate managers, to actually have a great experience for the affiliates that are working with us. And we're always trying to validate new stuff. We do a lot of, let's say, material for the affiliates so they can focus 100% on what they're good at, which is running media buying, like running traffic. So we actually started a month ago producing a lot of VSL optimizations. We're even producing creatives to send out to our affiliates so they can just plug into their traffic source and have their budget rolling, you know. So we're trying to focus 100% on the strategic side of it and leaving the affiliates only the traffic part of it.
That sounds ambitious and amazing. I know I've worked within the affiliate space and offered some affiliate programs, you know, for SaaS software that I've run in the past. Mm-hmm. Definitely potentially huge upsides. How do you approach brand and your brand concept, identity, And what are some of the things that you keep in your core messaging, and how are you expecting to maintain that as you bring in affiliates who necessarily, you know, the only reason to bring in an affiliate is they have their own audience, they have their own brand. So, what's your take on managing your own brand and then, piecing that out and handing a part of that over to these affiliates?
So, I mean, usually with affiliates, we work with fixed CPAs. So we pay commissions for the sale, right? So if, let's say, if we consider the front end, we actually don't make any money because we try to pay the most amount of commission we can for each affiliate. So they can have leverage in the auction for their traffic source, like Meta, Native, YouTube, etc. So we have to do a lot with backend. So that's where our money is located. So it's email marketing, SMS, trying to create like LTV with the customers, working with high ticket funnels in the backend, creating a coaching program to actually make these leads that are buying our products not only rely on the quality of the product, but they can actually have a guidance. Let's say, as we do a lot of weight loss, we have coaches that have like weekly calls with our customers, and they guide them with like nutrition, physical exercises, and everything. So I believe creating this backend, actually focusing on the experience of each lead, can help us increase our margins in the future by having a lot of affiliates sending thousands of leads on a daily basis. So this has been our the side that we're spending the most amount of energy and also resources to create a pretty good base for receiving all this traffic.
What's your approach, concern, or enthusiasm for the aspect of AI tools like Claude, ChatGPT, Copilot, Gemini, to kind of act as sentiment analyzers, mm-hmm. and being able to like take consensus of finding all of these threads of Reddit that might have mentioned your product or might have picked up the experience of people here and there who have used the product. You know, part of that process, it's very democratic, but also as a business owner, that means that it's not as much directly under your control of public perception of your brand. Is that something that is just baked into your experience? Because, you know, like as a business owner, it is what it is, and I can only do that. Or is there, you know, any thoughts towards trying to influence or have a control or aspect of trying to generate positive AI visibility for what it is that you're doing? Or is it just, you know, I've got my channels, you know, I'm running through socials and hopefully I'm getting the best outcomes and responses. Like, which of those paths is that for you right now?
So regarding AI and the visibility of our products, I mean, yes. Usually there's a lot of, like, when people don't like your product, they're very loud. It's very common. At least here in Brazil, we have kind of a saying that one negative person is louder than 100 people that are actually satisfied with the product. And we actually have that a lot, as we see in, let's say, creative and the creative comments in Meta. Whenever you have a person that liked the product, they only have like one comment. Oh, like, this product works super good, like, test it. But if a person don't like it or they have a bad experience, unfortunately, that's not very usual. But they start commenting on a lot of different creatives. They go to your customer service. They go to your DMs. So regarding volume, I don't know how AI would handle that. Let's say if AI has the data of one person going to multiple different channels and commenting something, maybe a bad experience they had. if it's gonna consider like a volume of people that are dislike the product, or is gonna identify that it's only one person that is going to different medias, but actually the volume is not that big. So that could be, let's say, a threat, considering AI visibility with these feedbacks. But I mean, on our end, what we can do is try to give the best experience for each of our customers. Of course, we're not going to have 100% of each lead satisfied, but we can try to at least have the best experience, the best customer service, the best members area. And with that, we can rely on the brand, you know. We know that one, let's say, a small amount of people maybe doing bad comments around the internet is not going to be the thing that is going to decrease the value of our products or anything.
What are you most excited about right now?
So I'm excited, let's say concerned at the same time, with the affiliation goals, because it's a pretty, let's say, big jump what we're trying to do this year, especially not dealing with affiliates. Like, this is my first time dealing with affiliates. I never had affiliates before, so it's a whole new game from when we only used to work with internal traffic. You gotta manage all the people, you gotta be on top of what's going on in the back end. If you're suffering losses from any of the affiliates, maybe their AOV is not as good as it should be. So you have a whole back-end structure you need to have to pay like the highest commissions in the market, and also make sure you're being profitable with all this. So this, let's say, is also very exciting, because we're creating a whole new thing, a whole new arm in the company. But it can also be a bit scary if we can think about every detail. And as we're trying to have aggressive goals, one of the concerns is, let's say, not reaching what we're expecting by end of year. So of course we have around 4-8 months to go, but once you blink it, it's already December. It's already Christmas. So we gotta make sure to combine like both strategy with speed. So this is, it's both exciting and concerning at the same time.
Give a shout out to your company brand, a website that people can follow up at, and where people, if they want to learn more about you or connect with you, where do you hang out online, where people could send a DM or see what you're posting?
So the name of our group, let's say, is OG Group. I usually create content on my Instagram. So it's Thiago B. Cord, Thiago B. Cord, is where I spend most of my time in social media. And also, I'm always present in like networking events. So Affiliate World, Affiliate Summit, I'm always hanging around with people and friends of mine there, trying to also find like new affiliates for our company and increasing our range of network, which is like super important in the digital space.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for the interview. Fascinating deep dive into the opportunity. Like, it's just kind of crazy to me that there's that much open field when it comes to Meta and social, allowing you to make such a big jump with your company that quickly. So fascinating conversation. Thank you for your time.
Really appreciate meeting you, Jeremy. Thanks for having me in the show today. And wish you a very good week and success in the podcast, man.
Thanks.